Do you have a lighter?
I sure do.
Yeah.
So fire, that fire,
is
fire.
How, yeah. Fire, fire, fire. That is how we start our day in the new world, by lighting a joint.
I smoke 2 joints in the morning. I smoke 2 joints at night. And now we're going to Manali, where they make joints, and they make the best hash in the world.
Yes.
Who'd thunk it? In the time of great lockdowns and COVID, we're heading to the mountains to join the Manali people. So.
Yes, we are going to Manali tomorrow night.
Yes, we're starting our trek.
We are starting a journey to move to the mountains and caves, to get away from all this chaotic thing that all this so-called light people are gonna throw us upon. So, So here we have today on a podcast, the very first podcast we are doing with a Native American from
Southern Illinois.
From Southern Illinois, and her name is?
My spirit name that I was given in a Native ceremony in 2017, it was on my birthday, by Kenny Awasis. He's a Cree elder from British Columbia, and he gave me my spirit name with my best friends, Melissa Page and Doreen Stevens and Charlotte Akee Stevens from Canada. They're Anishinaabe from the First Nations. I got my spirit name from him. My name is Dancing Eagle Woman.
So we have a Dancing Eagle Woman with us today, and she's going to talk about how she started traveling after the 9/11, which happened in America.
Yeah, 9/11, yes. And by the way, it was a controlled demolition. But anyway, so I started waking up. I started my journey in 1999. I was living in Los Angeles, California, in Hollywood, and I was on the path of working on film sets, assistant at the AFI Institute, worked on Sniper. The guy who directed it was a brother of, his brother won the Oscar for Best Direction of Wings of a Dove. So basically that was the path I was on. I was married, my husband was in advertising, and we lived in Los Angeles, downtown Hollywood, near Hollywood, Sunset Boulevard, near the Man's Chinese Theater. And I got this real strange awakening. I met David Icke, and I discovered the book, The Biggest Secret.
You met David Icke?
Yeah, I met David Icke, and I read The Biggest Secret. I was in shock for 2 weeks. That's when I began my awakening, like a real, I've always known there was something coming, and I knew that I was different. And I understood that there was something not right about my society early on. But in 1999, when I read David Icke's Biggest Secret, I found his book and video at a libertarian. I was married at the time, and I found it at a libertarian convention. They had a man selling videotapes, and I discovered David Icke. And he had written the book Biggest Secret, and I rushed to get it, read it, and I was in shock for weeks after reading the book.
What does the book talk about?
It talks about the bloodline elites, the bloodlines of the Windsors and the different occult bloodlines that run the world, have been running the world for centuries. And basically interbreeding bloodlines and how they're all connected through symbology and through the highest levels of Freemasonry. David Icke was pointing that out. And he was talking about the satanic rituals of the elite and child sacrifices and all of that. So I was really waking up to that reality back in 1999.
Yeah, recently they deleted David Icke's YouTube channel, which had a million subscribers.
Right.
Because I think, like, he's speaking the truth.
Oh, dude, he was saying the same thing. That everything that's happening right now, he was talking about in 1999. Like, he was talking about that years ago.
And that is also written in the 1984 book as well. Like, how
George
we are,
Orwell.
Yeah, George Orwell. Like, how we are moving to a technocratic world where, like, it's just going to be one global corporation which is going to manage the whole world.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, we're not here today to talk about all this. We are here to talk about the dancing eagle, the dancing eagle woman, how she just left America after 9/11 with this $200.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So what happened was, after 9/11, I knew the day it happened. I just had this gut feeling, as my intuition has always been right on, that something wasn't right and that there was a controlled demolition. And it was something about the end of the United States. Like, it was the end of the United States Republic and becoming a global order. So they knocked down the Twin Towers, as I did further research, as an occult symbology of taking down the twins. and then basically taking down the United States infrastructure.
You, David Icke, and a lot of other people talk about the 9/11 was a controlled demolition, and the technology that was used was the hologram technology.
Right, holographic telecom. Yeah, they have that. They've had it for a very long time.
Yeah, and that is what our prime minister as well used in recent or the last elections, when he was at one place and through holographic technology he was able to be at other places.
Exactly, because it was a controlled demolition, because he saw the charges going off. That's what I saw the first day it happened on TV. I rushed into my living room and I watched it with my friends and my ex-husband at that point. And basically I saw that there were charges going off and how the buildings came straight down.
Yeah.
And there's no way steel can melt.
Yeah, a lot of people say that bombs were planted and that as well.
Yeah, that's what we saw. We saw the charges, because they're like, look at that. There's charges going off. And I thought, that's it. I got to get out of here. And so a year later, I packed up all my belongings. I was married at the time. And we went. It didn't work with him. He took my son back to the United States to be with his family. And I continued on my journey all over Canada. But before that, I met David.
You left on your own?
I left on my own.
Oh,
but I met David. I forgot to tell you that. I met him in 1999 in Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah. And it was really open to my eyes as to the cabal and the CIA.
Did you have a one-on-one with David?
I met him really quick, but he was fast to get out of there. He was very creeped out by Salt Lake City for a very good reason, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Salt Lake City is a definite harvest center, CIA-controlled place. Mormon Temple is very creepy, but that's a whole other story I'll tell you about. But anyway, so I began my awakening after that, and then I left with a backpack, $200, and my country, my inheritance, my family. Put my thumb out and started traveling. I met amazing people. I traveled up the coast of British Columbia, Victoria, and the Vancouver Islands. And where I was mushroom picking for 2 months.
Mushroom picking?
Yeah,
like
mushroom
magic
picking.
Magic mushroom?
No, regular mushroom.
Oh,
like
regular
mushroom. Travels.
Okay.
And so I lived I lived outside in my tent for a while.
Okay.
In British Columbia, Tofino. And then I prayed about that, I felt that there was a change that I needed. I wanted to pursue my spirituality, and I found a Shivananda ashram on the internet. Everything, I had $20 in my pocket at that time. And
$20 in my pocket.
Yeah, I had $20. And then something, I said, Lord, the minute I saw a picture of Vishnu Devananda, tears came to my eyes. But it was in Quebec, which completely across the Canada. I'm thinking, how in the hell? I have $20 in my pocket, but I want to go to this Shivananda ashram in Quebec. But then I was there on the Vancouver Islands, and I prayed about it, and I said, if I'm going to get there to this place that I want to volunteer for, I have to raise $300 in 3 days, because there was a ride going exactly on that day across the country to the exact place I was going, in Valmorin, Quebec. How has that happened? That there's a person going in exactly 3 days across the entire country? So I prayed about it. I said, I what am I going to do, Lord? And then guess what happened? I was doing tarot cards at the time. That's how I was making my money. That's how I travel. And all of a sudden, I met this native woman, and we hit it off, and she introduced me to an entire family. Her entire family got tarot card readings the day before I had to leave. I raised exactly $300.
Wow.
No joke. In 3 days.
You manifested it.
$300 in 3 days. And a native woman was so impressed with her that she literally talked to all of her relatives. And I think it was the Haida Gwaii, or it was another native tribe. And I forgot, because it was so many years ago. And then I got a ticket. And then I got, not a ticket, but I got a guy who was from Quebec, picked me up in his van, and we literally, both of us took turns driving. In 3 days, we got across the country, where he dropped me off at Shivananda Ashram in the middle of the day, where I spent 3 months there, didn't know anybody, and got invited by a female friend that was a yoga teacher to come to Montreal.
Come to?
To Montreal.
Okay.
So I left Shivananda in the country, hour and a half north, and went to Montreal to stay with this woman who was an ex-model for Elle magazine. She had a son, and she was a yoga teacher. I forgot her name, but that's just so many years ago. And I met another friend named Franz Bavani, who was another yoga teacher, who was from Montreal, And then I got invited to Montreal, and I hung out with them for 2-3 months. And then I got on Plenty of Fish, was a dating site, and met a man named Derek James. And he said, if you feel it, you need he was telling me spiritual things. He was a friend with all the elders near Ottawa, the elders that were in the reserve, Ketagon Zibi. He was friends with them, and I didn't even know him, but he told me, follow the light, you're being divinely guided. He literally says this
Absolutely.
In Montreal to me on a dating site. And he said, come to Ottawa. You're only 2 hours away. It's the capital of Canada. We have a place for you. I'm like, what? So I, out of faith and just prayer, said, okay, I don't know this person, but I feel something. And so I went to Ottawa. I had a dollar. I had a dollar.
You just had a dollar.
$1. And I had to hitchhike from Montreal to Ottawa.
That's 2 hours away.
So I went downtown. I had less than a dollar. It was a loonie. It's called a loonie.
Okay.
A toonie is a $2 bill. But I had a loonie in my pocket. I needed $3. A toonie and a loonie to get to the hitchhiking post at the edge of town in Montreal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so bad that I went downtown, and the homeless kid that I partied with, I was in a squat with in Montreal for a few days, gave me the $2 I needed. A homeless kid gave me the $2 I needed to get on.
A homeless kid gave me $2.
Gave me $2 when I was downtown. Gave me the $2 I needed to get on a bus to take off to the hitchhiking post.
You know, it is the same in India as well. I see, like, when I travel as well, like, I meet people, like, you know, like, who are sadhus, and, like, when you just go to the ghats in Ganga, near, next to the Beatles Ashram, there's this sadhu place where all the sadhus are sitting. And I just met them for the first time, you know. And they are so kind. They share chillums with you. They share their food with you. And they don't want anything from you, you know? It's like with the homeless kids, I mean, like...
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. Yeah, it's just east and west. Like,
yeah,
a lot of the homeless kids that I met were, like, really brilliant.
Yeah.
But just, like, disenfranchised because they didn't fit in with their structures. You know what I mean? They're indigo kids, I call them. You know, they just were here to... They're here to break paradigms, not follow them.
Yeah, I think the names are wrong. You know, like the homeless kids should be the indigo kids.
Right.
Kids who know how to live off the land or how to live on their own, how to survive and not be dependent on the system, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why I left in 1991. I said, I'd rather live on roots. I told my mom, she said, how could you turn away on your family's patriotic, and how can you leave your family and do this and that? And I said, Mother, this is not the country my family fought for.
I think we should definitely move to, you know, like, one nation, no borders, one...
Yeah, exactly.
But in an uncontrolled way, everybody should be free to do what they want to do, follow their passion, and, you know, really follow their passion. A lot of people don't even know what their passion is. Like, my passion is just to travel to 180 countries. And earlier, I was always thinking, you know, like, if I'm just traveling to 180 countries, what else? But now I think that, yeah, doing this podcast, making it sure that it reaches out to people, whatever the message is, whatever the world and the enlightened people, the enlightened souls want the message to pass on to the world.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like this is what the new world order should be. And this is our chance. I feel like people all around the world have this chance. Like, definitely we are moving to a new world order, but let it be the way you want it to be.
Right.
Let it not be dictated to you by dictators or by the elites anybody. Yeah.
Crafters of reality.
Yeah.
Do movies, TV. Yeah. It's all predictive programming.
Absolutely.
Like the Simpsons told you about Trump.
Yeah.
The Simpsons have things about 9/11 years before.
Absolutely.
It's all predictive programming. It's a co-opted reality fed to people through media, through TV, through their governments, through their leaders.
Yeah, and I was reading an article which said, like, the mainstream media in the United States, I don't know the facts about India, but would be more or less similar, is like 90% of the media is controlled by just six people. And when you...
Six corporations.
Yeah, six corporations.
And,
yes.
And even in Hollywood, with this new documentary that got over 11 million hits in 1 week, it's called Out of the Shadows. And it talks about media and Hollywood and how it was created by the CIA. And basically, most Hollywood films have to be okayed by the Pentagon because it's promoting the United States military and the elite's vision.
Yeah.
Tele-vision. That's why they call it tele-vision. It's trying to mass mind wash people through techniques by the Nazis that they brought over to the United States after World War II under Project Paperclip. And it was not to entertain you, it was to entrain you. And to entrain you and to propagandize you from what they, the elite, the 1% who own the media, want you to believe. The reality they want you to be a part of, not your own, the one that we're talking about.
But now I believe we are also maybe 1% or even lesser than that who understand this and want to move to the mountains. And I think David Icke is doing a wonderful thing by, you know, letting people know. And the Dancing Eagle woman and Hanja, by the way, which means complete love. We want to create a world with 144,000 people, you know, wherein we do our own shit together, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's unity and diversity.
Absolutely.
So we want to keep our unique personalities. We don't want to be a part of the AI hive mind. As far as I'm concerned, the AI agenda and the microchips and the 5G, it's all to create a frequency fence around the planet. It's a frequency control. There's a book about it called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, and how the new war is a silent one because they're using frequencies to control. Because frequencies can control anything. They can sound can heal, or sound can kill, and that's what they're doing with 5G. It's a way to create mass.
And the best sound in the world is the sound of the river Ganga.
Right, organic.
You know? Organic, yeah. And if you sit by the Ganges and you hear the sound, you know. It's the river produces 10,000 different sounds at the same time, and all together they found one single sound, which is the sound of Om.
Yeah.
You know, if you hear very carefully. And this is what my travel has taught me, you know, to be awakened, to be, you know, like trust more on my intuitions. And Prabhuji, like Ravi, like the first time I met him with Anna, he said in the Bhagavad Gita, it's written that fear is a sin.
Yeah, he told me that.
Yeah.
Fear is the greatest sin.
Fear is the greatest sin.
And the second one for me is ignorance.
Okay.
Ignorance is a great sin.
And right now, I think like most of the people in the world, you and me are not wearing a mask and we are not 6 feet apart each other. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think people are right now, have become... Like fear has been imposed on their mind,
right,
through the mainstream media. Plus, people are ignorant as well, and I think fear and ignorance. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing too, this is why during this time I knew I'd be traveling freely, because that's when you travel, you realize that there is no box. And when you're traveling,
I was traveling on faith. Yeah.
You understand? I was traveling on faith in probably the worst time in history when I thought the United States was over, which it was. But I literally didn't know what was going on after 9/11. I just knew I needed to get out of where I was and start traveling and go off into the nature and focus on my spirituality at this time. So I wasn't sure. Because I knew it was all what David Icke was talking about. I wasn't sure what timing for this agenda. But I also said to my friends 10 years ago, I said they're going to use a virus as an excuse to quarantine people. That's how they're going to lock everybody down. And this is what I believe about COVID, certification of a vaccine ID chip, is that basically it's to make everyone afraid and use division. Because the ancient rulers are still ruling. The same bloodlines are still trying to run things. And what they run on is fear and division. That's what social distancing is about. Why is it only 6 feet? Why isn't it 5 feet? Why isn't it 7 feet apart? Why is it 6 feet? When you measure the heart goes 6 feet. What they're doing is their desperate bid to get everyone into their beast AI 666 system. 5G, Elon Musk, all these people are about this, creating a new human, more of a Borg mentality, where everyone's hooked to the AI and the 5G. And all this is working together with the chemtrails and the laying of metals, like barium, aluminum, and your deodorant. Like, they've been filling people with heavy metals for a very long time. And metals are conductive, so that they can tap you into the 5G system with chips and nanotechnology. And this is what they've been slowly doing, and that's why they've been herding people into cities. The more people you can herd into cities, the easier to create a grid, like a frequency fence or a control grid. So people read that. It's called Quiet Weapons for Silent Wars. If you want to research what I've just talked about, that's the book to read.
Which book?
It's called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. It's about frequency, how they control people through frequencies. It was written a few years back. That's why I use it as a reference. People need to read that.
And I think all this is available on the internet and everywhere,
yes.
But it's just not being spoken about or not being promoted. Yeah, it happens. I was just thinking about it today. You know, the good stuff is there. Like say Kama Sutra, okay, it's such an ancient Indian book which really talks about, you know, like sex and everything. And sex is such a taboo still, I mean, you know. And I was thinking, you know, that this book is available and for every man and woman, you know, to be able to be, you know, experience the highest form of energy, is the sexual energy is the highest
right.
form of
especially
energy.
Especially if you channeled it.
Yeah. And like all this...
yeah, they're even saying masks. They want people to wear masks when they're having sex.
Oh,
they're
yeah,
even doing that now.
Yeah.
The elite are so fucking desperate to lock everybody down and separate and divide and instill fear in everyone because that's all they've ever done. The only way they can control you is through your perception, through division, and through fear. If people wake up and fucking wake up and realize this agenda and do their research, then they don't have to fall prey to this bullshit agenda. They will just start traveling and say, fuck this. I'm not going to stay inside. I'm not going to quarantine. I'm going to go take off and go backpacking, go to the trails.
By the way, you know, there is a court case going on which some doctors, you know, not just normal people who have no knowledge of, you know, mask or anything. The doctors have filed a case against the government's making mask mandatory.
Yeah.
Because the doctors are like, fuck, we already have to wear it during the operations. You want us to be like... wearing it while fucking having sex as
well.
Well,
yeah, because they're trying to, they don't want people to procreate. They'd rather create their own breed of clones.
Yeah.
They have cloning centers. Anybody can do the research. They've been cloning since 1938. And there are CIA whistleblowers that are talking on YouTube. You can find this if you want to look it up. And there's every information you can think of is out there. If you really want to find out what's going on, you have to do the research. You have to ask the questions. And that's what I did when I took off on my journey in 1999 and after 9/11 when I went through backpacking through Canada. And I've been
traveling ever
since. And you
reached the capital of Canada by, you know, just like having a loonie.
Yeah, toonie. $3 at the time.
$3.
And then I backpacked and then this girl picked me up immediately, like this nice hippie girl, and took me right to the Byward Market, center of town in Ottawa.
Okay.
And I made $80 immediately.
Like three at Taragadi.
Within a minute or two, within an hour. I made $80 just sitting my little backpack and my sign on the street in a place I'd never been. But my friend Derek James, who is friends with tons of elders and native elders of all the different tribes, he was waiting for me in a squat called the White House, which was painted black. And so I met him and a guy who had just come back backpacking from South America. There was no electricity, so they were waiting for me, and he was playing guitar, and they were talking and smoking weed. And they gave me a room, and they said, here's your room, but it was a squat. The next day, they took me to the Depanar Sylvest, Derek did, and introduced me to everybody. I had all these tarot readings and met all these French people immediately from this guy I met on Plenty of Fish, and I had a dollar in my pocket. He said, trust God, trust yourself, come visit, you have a place.
Exactly. Money is also an energy. It will come to you. You don't have to worry about it.
But what I was doing? Yeah, exactly. You can manifest anything you want.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we bring it back to the fact of media, the government, everything is owned by these people, and all they know is division, fear, and division.
Yeah, but
and this
you
is what
fear
really
is in your travels. I mean, you.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like,
this
I
is
don't
the point
know.
Of the travels.
I don't know many women, like especially in India, who would just like go with a dollar is like right now maybe just 100 rupees, you know.
Yeah.
And just like go with their backpack and just like, you know, or maybe any guy. I wouldn't travel with a dollar, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a dollar as well with me, but I have like 0 rupees with me. And I just travel, and the God provides for
it. Every time, and that's
the universe
point.
Provides for
and
it.
And that's the point, you know, of really what I think we were trying to stress.
Just tell me more about it. Like, you met this family and the French people, and you.
Yeah, I met them immediately.
Yeah,
the next day, there's like a potluck, a vegetarian potluck, with all the people in the a lot of the different people in the community.
Yeah.
It's called the Depanar Sylvest. And he introduced me to Doreen Stevens, who had a daughter, raising her daughter at the time. And I ended up getting my first under-the-table job from Doreen Stevens.
Under the table job?
My first under the table job, which means you get paid cash.
Okay.
She gave me a job taking care of her daughter, who was 7 or 8 at the time. Her name was Charlotte Akee Stevens. And basically, I got to live with them and hung out with her, find out that she's this renowned artist, Aboriginal, Native Anishinaabe artist, multimedia. She's in movies like The Black Road. She was a quintessential Native woman. She was on postcards, painting of her. She looked just like Pocahontas. And there I meet these magical people immediately. And it's like something's been guiding me the entire time. In a country I couldn't work, knowing nobody.
Absolutely, like follow the light.
Yeah, and I did. And follow now, the light. And just to say, to end this part, I'm not gonna go into all the details, but I'll talk about it in further podcasts, the beautiful things that happened. Well, I ended up performing with her for the government, the National Arts Center, you know, with Ian McClough, you know.
Wait, what song did you perform?
Oh, shit, it was so fucking long. I don't even remember, but I just know that we do a lot of,
just like sing a line or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Met him on a powwow trail. He was a singer, I was a dancer on the harpy drum. Oh, way, oh, how, well, hey, hi. Oh, way, oh, how, well, hey, hi. Oh, way, hey, hi. Way, hey, hi. Way, hey, hi. Way, hey, hi. Way, ho, way, ho, ho. Way, ho, hi. It's just a piece of it. It's
just called follow the light.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a 49er song. This is what they ask when they don't want you to sing a very serious Native song. It's to entertain people. Like when you're entertaining government officials or, you know, you can do a 49ers or a powwow. So that's
so we sign off for now?
For now, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to say something to the people listening to it?
Yes. I just want to say that look up Doreen Stevens. We're working on an album that she is her composed songs. It's called Songs for the Earth, Poetry a Key. It should be coming out in the next 2 or 3 months, but if you want to look up Doreen Stevens, I think she's on Spotify. It's a song called Humor. We remastered the album about 2 or 3 months ago.
You were working with them?
Yeah, I was a backup singer on this album, just recently. This was years ago that we did the National Arts Center.
Okay.
But just recently, before I left from Canada to come to India, I'm working on an album called Songs for the Earth, Poetry a Key, with Doreen Stevens. Her daughter wrote the song. We sing backup. And it's with Derek DeBeers. He's a drummer. He's like a percussionist, but he's worked with Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen, Peter Gabriel. But her name is Doreen Stevens, Clearwater Woman, the one that walks with the heart. That's her spirit name. And Charlotte O'Keefe Stevens is Four Winds Earth Woman. Right?
Okay, so here it is, Hanja. Signing off for now, and we'll talk again when we fucking light up a joint.
That's right.
Until then, follow your heart, follow the light, and fucking do whatever you want to do, guys.
Exactly. And don't buy into the fear bullshit of the world's elite who control the media, the governments are in their pockets. So don't let them control your perception. It's a perception deception, just like David Icke wrote. Read the book, Perception Deception. Get into your hearts, follow your dreams, and never fear.
Of course. Don't fear, fuck fear, drink beer.
That's right. Have a good time.
Have a good time.
Send me love, you guys. Peace.
Lot of love.
Love. Aho.
Aho.
To all my ancestors.